Through the example of Father Capon, we are given a model of how to be hope to a hopeless world, to be light to a dark world, to be so filled with joy that people desire to be around us. There's an urgency in the world right now. I want to enter the mission territory. In fact, the Lord has called all of us into this battle for souls. He's not given anybody a pass on that. Welcome to the Foxhole.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to a call from the Foxhole. My name is Jason Searle. I'm the Sheriff Capon's Men, and joining us this morning is Bishop Joe Coffey and Joe Ferris. They're going to have a great conversation talking about Bishop's background, his thoughts on pilgrimage. He's joined us on the Father Capon Walk several times. It was supposed to happen beginning tomorrow, and it's been postponed due to the coronavirus and COVID. But Bishop's got some great experience as a pilgrim, and he's going to help us unpack that given all our work that we've done at Capon's Men on pilgrimage over the last year. Joe Ferris is going to start us off here in a moment with a prayer, but before he does that and then gets into his conversation with Bishop, and Bishop's going to give us a blessing to conclude. But before they do that, just a quick reminder, all of these conversations are available on our different podcast platforms, including Apple and Spotify and others. And if you enjoy listening to these, please pass them around to your friends. Ask them to give us a like and rate us if they enjoy what they're hearing, if they're as meaningful to them as they are to us. We sure would appreciate you spreading the word. And also, you can find all the Capon's Men original content out there on caponsmen.com. And we've given all this content away to our partners at Formed, and you can find them, all the Capon's Men series, including our pilgrimage series, at formed.org. So again, we'd like to welcome Bishop Joe Coffey and Joe Ferris. And Joe, if you could take it away, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Jason, and thank you, Bishop, for coming on. This is an exciting morning for me. I did a little research on Bishop Coffey, and I can't wait to share with everyone and have him share with everyone some of the things he's done and some of the places I've been, and probably most importantly, at least for this audience, some of the places where Father Capon's inspired him. But if it's okay, I'd love to start with a prayer. And so I just would ask everyone, I know that we live in a chaotic, loud, anxious, uncomfortable, even scary at times world. So maybe let's just take a second and take what our Lord has told us in the book of Psalms, and let's just be still for a second, just kind of sit in this moment, kind of quiet. Just allow the Lord to speak to us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Bishop Coffey, again, for being here. I want to start. I did a little, you've got a Wikipedia page, which means you're a big hitter in the world these days.
And so I actually have never seen that. I'm scared to look at it. I don't know what they might have come up with.
But it's pretty cool. I think you're the fifth of nine kids. I did see that, right. Which is kind of cool. Tons of nieces and nephews. It sounds like a huge family gatherings are great. One of the things that piqued my interest the most, and I would love to start here, is you're a lifelong Philadelphia fan, and
that's
I'm
right.
A Bengals fan. And I think I'd like to just, yeah, go Bengals. I'd love for you just to help out a Bengals fan, because I know I'm also a Phillies fan. I don't know how I connect all these things. But I'm just wondering, off the top of your head, Bishop, what would you say to the Bengals fans? Because the Phillies fans have really, I mean, the Phillies and the Eagles have had some good years. Give us a little bit of encouragement. Let's start there.
Well, any sports fan knows that the Philly teams have been sometimes really, really atrocious and sometimes really awesome. So the key is to never give up, never lose hope. I never did. I was an Eagles fan for 50 years and got to enjoy that Super Bowl 2 years ago, and it was an incredible game. So never lose hope. Always root for the home team, no matter what.
Well, that's been where we're at. That's certainly where, as Bengals fans, we are. I think Jason brought up at the beginning of this the fact that the pilgrimage, which is special to my heart and certainly special to your heart, was supposed to be this weekend, and I know that we've had to postpone it due to the pandemic. I know you've participated in the past. I'd love to hear what draws you and maybe has drawn you to the pilgrimage, and what you've learned and what you've seen, and maybe would even say to those listening what they can learn from these kind of experiences.
Sure. I thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak today, and keep an eye on the clock, because if you're going to get me started on the pilgrimage for Capon, I might go on all day, so be the good timekeeper and cut me off when you need to. But I would love to just share the story real quickly of how I even heard about it and how I participated in it for the first time. So I was a Navy chaplain for 19 years on active duty. I just retired, actually, 3 days ago on May the 31st after 28 years of Navy service altogether, active and in reserve. But one of my active duty assignments was as a chaplain recruiter, and I was stationed in St. Louis, Missouri. Well, as a military chaplain with the military archdiocese, I knew a little bit about the story of Father Capon and also Father Capodanno, our two priests that are causes of canonization. And I remember hearing about the Capon pilgrimage that was going to be coming up pretty soon from Wichita to Capon, and it sounded fascinating. So for my job, I drove all over the country recruiting seminarians for the Navy Chaplain Corps. I actually drove to Pilsen and got there just in time to see the pilgrimage come to an end. So I was actually there at the little church there in Pilsen when I watched the pilgrims march in, Father Jim and Eric Weldon, and a bunch of people looking really exhausted but incredibly excited. And then I went to the Mass where Father Hotze gave the beautiful homily and gave the story of Father Capon and all that. So I told Father Father Eric Weldon right then and there, I said, Father, I will do this with you next year. So that's what inspired me to do the pilgrimage the following year. And I can tell you, those of you who have been on it know it's pretty darn hard. I mean, when you tell people you're going to hike 60 miles over 3 days, it doesn't sound that terrible, but it's hard. I remember that first pilgrimage, I was really hurting, and it was difficult, but it was an incredible experience, and praying the rosary along the way and having the morning Mass to start each day. And I actually, the third day, I was so wiped out, I actually had to get into a car for a few miles, and it killed me, but I couldn't keep up. So even despite JP and all his snacks in the snack wagon, I mean, they were plying me with food and drink, and I just couldn't make it all the way. And I vowed to myself, next year, I'm going to make the whole pilgrimage. So the following year, I did all 60 miles in the allotted time, and we finished as a group that year, and it was just an incredible experience to march into Pilsen, to see the little red church, to say Mass, and to just be a part of that pilgrimage. And I was actually signed up to do it this year. I was really excited about it. So I'm very disappointed, like we all are, because of this pandemic, but we can all train real hard so that next year it's a piece of cake for all of us. But I just want to share that story of how I even heard about the pilgrimage and my experiences with it. And I can tell you that pilgrimage is it a wonderful experience. I liken it to a retreat on steroids. I mean, you get a chance to leave your work for a couple of days, leave all your cares behind, and just be with people who love their faith and love the Lord and love the story of Father Capon, and be inspired by the stories along the way by those who have done the march before, and Father Eric and Father Jim. So I encourage all the listeners, if they haven't done the pilgrimage yet, put it on your calendar for next year and plan ahead and take vacation time if you need to, but do that pilgrimage, because it's an amazing experience, and I really encourage everyone that can to do that.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you, Bishop. It's a game changer. I'm thinking, mm-hmm. and one of the things we took out of the pilgrimage and really have begun talking about everywhere I go and the people I'm in conversation with is this kind of this disposition of a pilgrim. mm-hmm. like this person. And how do you translate that journey into our day-to-day life? Do you have some thoughts on that and some things that maybe for me, I know I talk about stillness and I talk about the boldness and the joy that you saw. But for
yeah.
you personally, have there been some things that have translated into your personal life as a result of the pilgrimage?
Well, as I said, it really is like a retreat, and an annual retreat is a good thing for every priest, and I know many lay people go on retreats. I'm from Philadelphia. We have Malvern Retreat House, and so just to plan in your calendar year a couple days to get away to refresh and renew your spirit and do some good spiritual reading and just a concentrated time of real prayer and resting with the Spirit is such a great thing. And you just magnify that when you go on a pilgrimage, a walking pilgrimage, because it's physically, it's demanding, but your spirit is totally invigorated. And then you just have to take those little mini pilgrimages throughout the year, like even starting the day with prayer. And I tell people this all the time, but I don't know, about 30-some years ago, I decided that I was going to begin my day by rolling out of bed onto the floor, onto my knees, saying a Hail Mary. And I thanked the Lord for the night of sleep I had, and I asked him to help me to have a good day. And then at night, right before I go to sleep, I pray for my brothers and sisters by name and for their spouses by name. And then I pray for all my nieces and nephews and my great-nieces and nephews. And I just thank the Lord for the day and do a quick examination of conscience. So you really want to take that time, not just on a retreat or a pilgrimage, but really every day, take a few moments of prayer. And then, of course, we have Sunday Mass, and a lot of people like to go to daily Mass. And that's one of the, I think, the biggest hardships of this pandemic was the absence of public Masses for so long. So I would just encourage everyone listening to just really embrace your faith and take those opportunities to pray and to be with others of like mind to share the faith, because the faith is meant to be shared, and we're all one. We're all in the body of Christ. So take those opportunities to pray and renew and refresh your spirit when you can.
Bishop, I told you I did look at your Wikipedia. That's if you're praying by name for all your nieces and nephews, that's a long prayer every night.
No, my brothers and sisters by name, but nieces and nephews in general.
Oh, okay, good. Cause I was thinking that's a huge crowd to pray for. Well, I want to switch gears because time is always of the essence on these. And I know that for you personally, Father Capon has been kind of an inspiration to you. And when we look at Father Capon and see his love for those who serve in the armed forces, he almost lived into this as a missionary. And I know mm-hmm. you said you served in the Navy. What was the inspiration for you, maybe one, to be a priest and ultimately to serve in the armed forces and that calling? What exactly was that like for you?
Well, it's the story that I've shared many times. As a seminarian, I was studying to be a priest for Philadelphia. I entered the seminary at the beautiful age of 30. And I had been in the working world for a while, and I thought, you know what, I was called to this, to be a priest, and so I was studying to be a parish priest in Philadelphia when I met a recruiter for the chaplain corps, and he told me about how you can serve as a priest and a chaplain. And so I asked my bishop at the time, Archbishop Bevilacqua, if I could join this chaplain candidate program. And he said I could be a chaplain candidate, which means I would get a direct commission as an ensign in the Navy, and I could drill and train in my summer vacation time. And it wouldn't interfere with my seminary time, but that I was not to ask permission to go on active duty for at least 5 years after ordination. So I said, okay, and I applied for the program, and I got accepted and went out to San Diego for the summer. And I just loved it. I loved being a chaplain candidate for the Navy, learning about the chaplain corps. And the reason why I chose the Navy was my dad had been in the Navy as a Navy doctor, and my little brother Jim was actually in the Navy at the time as a lieutenant in San Diego. And so that's how I got involved with the Navy. And then I served for 5 years as a parish priest. And I loved being a parish priest. It was a very, very special time in my life where I was very busy and enjoying it. But I really felt the call to be a full-time active duty Navy chaplain And so I asked permission of then Cardinal Bevilacqua, and he fortunately gave me permission, because there are many priests that I've met who would love to serve as chaplains, but they can't get the permission from their local bishop because the bishops can't spare them, because we have a terrible shortage of priests. So those of you who are listening out there who think you might be called to be a priest, it's a wonderful way to serve. It's a double calling, to serve as a priest and also serve as a military chaplain. And you can serve in the Army, the Navy, or the Air Force Chaplain Corps. Father Capon served in the Army Chaplain Corps, but he has really inspired me with his absolute selfless service. And I think people who are a part of the Capon Guild know the story so very well, but just how he saved Sergeant Miller's life and helped force march him to that POW camp in Korea, and how he just inspired the men to hang on through despicable conditions of cold and hunger, and he would go around the camp. Just one thing, if I can point out, when you're a chaplain under the Geneva Convention, you are not a POW. You're considered a detained personnel. That gave Father Capon a little bit of flexibility to walk around the camp and to visit some of the troops rather than being confined to the barracks. So he took full advantage of that by inspiring the men. And then when he was awarded the Medal of Honor many years later, over 60 years later, I believe there were 9 men that were in that camp and told testimony that Father Capon inspired them to stay alive. And they credit him for helping them stay alive and hang on until they were released from their freedom. So those kinds of stories of Father Capon have inspired me ever since that first pilgrimage. So I know I'm kind of going on and on, but there's just so much admiration I have for Father Capon. And he's inspired me to be a better priest. And he can inspire all of us to be better husbands and better fathers and better brothers. And I think that's why you belong to this Father Capon Guild, to encourage more and more people to know his story so that they too can be inspired by him.
Now I think that most on this call would 100% agree with you on that and have had some, that was the beauty of the pilgrimage, right, Bishop? You bump into different people who were inspired in different ways by the story of Father Capon. Ask you, I'd love to hear something as a chaplain. I'm sure there's been some standout moments where you thought, okay, I'm in my lane. Like, I picked my lane. This is the right lane. The Lord picked my lane. I just kind of stood in it. But is there a moment or two where you felt like, this is one of the great graces I've received as being a military chaplain?
Well, I can think of two things offhand. Serving with the Marines in my first tour of duty in Okinawa with the Combat Assault Battalion, as the battalion chaplain, I did everything they did. So when we went out into the field, I was in the tents and in the mud and work, going on these long humps with your backpack. And we would go on these 10-mile humps routinely. And I remember one day it was raining so hard, the rain was coming down sideways. And I remember thinking to myself, the second I don't want to be here, I'm in big trouble. And I thought, no, I want to be here. I'm their chaplain. They didn't ask for me. They got me. I'm their chaplain, and I'm their priest. So if I lose my motivation, they're going to be in trouble. So I said to myself, no, I want to be here. And that completely changed my frame of mind, and I just said to myself, I'm going to stay motivated. So I've often told our troops, whether out in Afghanistan when I served out there for 7 months during the war, or in boot camp, I served 3 years at the boot camp in San Diego for Marine Corps recruits. I would tell them that story of how your positive mental attitude is so critical, because when we lose it, our mental toughness, then everything else falls apart. And then another great experience I've had is to be able to say Mass for the troops. I've said Mass in some very, very crazy places, on ships, and I went to an exercise in Hokkaido, Japan, where it was freezing cold and there was nothing out there, not even a table. So I used a howitzer, and I said Mass on a howitzer. I said Mass on Jeeps and on Humvees and in tents, and one of the best places I've ever said Mass was on the top of Mount Suribachi, on the island of Iwo Jima, looking down on the black sands of that beach. And I just recalled the stories of that horrendous battle and all the suffering and all the people who died. But the day that I was there, it was incredibly peaceful with the birds fluttering above my head and just a sunny, beautiful day. But I was able to say Mass in that very spot on Mount Suribachi as a priest chaplain on Iwo Jima because I was a Navy chaplain. And that gave me that opportunity. So one of the best things I've ever been able to do as a Navy chaplain and a priest is to be able to say Mass and hear confessions and offer the sacraments to our Marines and sailors and Coast Guardsmen and even soldiers because I've been stationed in a couple joint areas. So, I've had many, many wonderful graces as a Navy chaplain, and they're just a couple of them.
Well, that's beautiful, Bishop. Thank you very much for sharing. I want to kind of begin to close up with a question. You spent a big bulk of your career forming young men and forming soldiers and being a part of, I think you even mentioned the recruiting aspect of it. Mm-hmm. What would you say to the men on this call, as we're kind of being trained for the mission, the next mission, some of us it's just getting through the day or in our businesses or in our homes. What kind of advice would you impart to men as we're kind of heading out into the world? Certainly it's a little different currently than it has been in the last 6 months. But even just moving forward, what kind of advice would you give to us that you've seen through all these years that has resonated with men?
Well, I would just ask the men to be bold and be courageous, be men of virtue and honor. Today is the feast of Charles Lwanga. He was a martyr in Uganda, and he's joined the group of martyrs from St. Augustine, you know, area of Africa. So when we're Catholic, we know that it's hard. It's hard to live a good, holy life because of the culture we live in. But those of us who have been confirmed, we have those gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we have to strap on the armor. We go to battle. I mean, anyone on this call is old enough to know what's out there, the culture and the temptations that are out there. And they're there. They're there till the day we die. It doesn't matter how old we are or what state of life we're in, the temptations are going to be there. So we have to be men of virtue. We have to use the armor that the church gives us. And we have a lot of armor, fellas. We have Mass and the Eucharist. We have confession. We have the blessings from the priests. And the priests mess up too. We all do. We're all sinners, and we all fall short of the glory of God. But if you go to Mass with a validly ordained priest, and he offers you the Holy Eucharist, you're receiving the body and blood of Christ. So if you're going to be Catholic, be an awesome, bold Catholic. Don't be a wimpy Catholic that just says, oh, I don't really go to church any longer. No. We haven't been able to go to church for a couple of months, and that's been horrendous. That's been terrible, but once we start getting those public masses back up, make every effort to go every Sunday or Saturday night, unless you're pretty darn sick and you can't get there. Or if you're able to get the daily Mass, that's even better. Sometimes you're able to do that, but get the confession, confess your sins, and be renewed every time you go to that beautiful sacrament. And don't be a half-hearted Catholic. The world needs strong, bold, courageous, fearless Catholics, and we can be inspired by men like Father Capon and the priests that you know that have inspired you. And I try to inspire my nieces and nephews. I try to be a good uncle. I try to be a good brother to my four brothers and four sisters. So we have the examples, and we have the armor, and we have the weapons to get through this life, knowing where we're going, which is heaven. And we want to go to heaven. We want to have that hope, that holy faith in heaven. So don't get discouraged. Don't lose faith. Don't lose hope, even if you have some setbacks in life. The church is filled with saints that have overcome all kinds of setbacks, like Augustine and others. So don't give up. Don't ever give up. That's my message to all of you.
I tell you what, Bishop, you're getting me fired up here. So I'm all in on that. I think that's a good way to look at it. Can I ask you, Bishop, as we close, what's next for you? I know you said you've just had a pretty big milestone and you're stepping back Is there a next step and some places you're headed or where you're headed from here?
Well, thanks for asking me that because, as I mentioned, I entered the seminary when I was 30, and 3 days ago I turned 60. I just had a birthday. So that are like two halves of my life. The first half was great. The second half was even better, way better. So I can't wait till the next, probably not half of the next third. Or I'm when I turn 50, I said that first half was good. Now I'm going for the second half. So I'm trying to stay healthy. I've just retired from the Navy, so I'm no longer going to be drilling as a reservist or going on active duty. But just a little over a year ago, I was ordained to be a bishop for the military archdiocese, and my role is the vicar for veterans affairs. So I get to go all over our great country and work with our veterans and our priests that work in veterans hospitals. And so right now I'm in San Antonio, Texas. I just spent the week in Texas. I was at an ordination in Victoria, Texas on Saturday for one of our co-sponsored seminarians. And I was in Temple, Texas yesterday, the day before that in San Antonio, but a couple days before that in Houston. So my job is going to be going around the country, working with our veterans and our priest chaplains who work in veterans hospitals. So that's what I'll be doing for the until the foreseeable future. I don't know how long the Holy Father will have me doing that job or something else might come up, but that's my area of focus for now. And I'm just going to ask the men on this call to keep me in your prayers and keep all of our veterans in their prayers. The veterans make up only 1% of our country. So when you see a veteran and they're wearing their hat at the Veterans Day Parade, just walk up and say, thank you for your service. I tell you what, you never get tired of hearing that when you're a veteran. So as of 3 days ago, I'm officially a veteran of our country and a retiree. So, so thank you for the opportunity to share the message of the veterans today. And, those of you who might be considering, younger guys, considering serving your country, it's not for everybody, but if you're called to it, it's a beautiful way to serve our country as a military veteran. So thank you for giving me that opportunity to share my story.
And let me be the first, I'm sure not the last, to say thank you for your service, Bishop, and thank you for what you've done in spreading the faith and in being an inspiration to those men and women that you served alongside. Can I ask you, before we hand off to Scott, for a blessing, and then as soon as you're done with the blessing, Scott will jump right in and kind of close us out. But Bishop, I'm honored to have spent some time with you. I'm inspired by your service and your words today, and I just would appreciate if you give all of us a blessing as we close out today.
Well, thank you very, very much, and I'm going to do whatever I can to get to make the next pilgrimage. So may Almighty God bless you all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. God bless.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop Coffey. As Joe said, thank you for your service, both, you know, for your many years of service as a priest and as a chaplain, and now continuing to serve our veterans. What a blessing to have heroic, courageous priests like you, just heroic and saying yes to something new and different. It's what a blessing. You inspire us like Father Capon. So
thank you
so much for having us and your words. Men, just a few other things about what we have coming up. Today, again, is a double blessing. Not only did we get to listen to Bishop Joe Coffey, but we just dropped a podcast, a call that we had with Chris Stefanik. So you'll be able to find that anywhere that you can find these podcasts. You can go to our website. We'll put it up on Facebook as well, but as Jason said, on Spotify, iTunes, Google, Stitcher, CastBox, most podcasts, you can find us. As Bishop said, you know, if we've been inspired by Father Capon's story, make sure we share it with others. So you can help us do that not only by sharing it with your family and friends, but also by leaving us good ratings. 5-star ratings help us be found so that other people can come across some inspiration, come across Father Capon's story, and hopefully help them in their lives as well. Like us on Facebook, share all that. I know it's it seems kind of silly, but it is actually helpful in getting the word out, and it's a great, easy way of evangelization. So So again, look for Chris's podcast coming out. And in the next 2 weeks, we have Dom Qualia, who is with the 1010 group with Joe Ferris. So he is great. You can check him out. He's got some videos online at the 1010group.com. And the following week, June 17th, we have Michelle Benziger, who is one of the co-hosts of the Abiding Together podcast, along with Heather Kim and Sister Miriam James Heidland, a wildly popular podcast. I'm guessing your wives may have heard of it. Probably have heard of Sister Miriam James. Check them all out. They're great. So good stuff coming up as well. I think that's about all I've got. So let's go ahead and finish with our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And
Amen.
We'll ask Our Lady's intercession to be the virtuous men, be the bold and courageous men that we are called to be. Hail Mary. Full of grace,
the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou amongst women,
and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Mother of God,
pray
for us sinners,
now and at
the hour of our death. Amen.
All right, men, be bold and courageous in your faith. Have a great day.
Thanks for joining us in the Foxhole. As we go, we're blessed to leave you with these words from Father Capon himself.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.